The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, welcome back. Post-Merry Christmas, Happy New Year 2022. Off to an interesting start. It's going to be an interesting year. I'll get to this a little bit later. Exclusive poll. America's fears rise for 2022. That's charming, isn't it? So we'll talk about that. A lot of other big news that I want to get to during the show. But we welcome back another great American, loves the Lord, here in North Carolina, Courtney Giles. Courtney Giles for Congress, running in the 6th District. Allegedly, things have gotten a little interesting since Courtney was on last earlier in December. And again, one of our friends running for U.S. Congress in the 6th District. But we'll see what's going on there. It's kind of up in the air. Courtney, welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy 2022, Steve.
Yeah, so a pretty bizarre start. You are all ready to file District 6, which is, describe for the folks where District 6 is here in North Carolina. Then we'll talk about the bit of a train wreck that you're all going through.
Yeah, District 6 is Durham County, Orange County, and then a piece of Wake, which is Cary, Apex, and Morrisville.
So you have your work cut out for you as a conservative, but we're ready to file with along with a bunch of other people. Mark Walker was ready. Chad Slotta, who's on my board, has been on the show many times, was ready. Michelle Woodhouse was ready. She's been on the show recently. She'll be back this Friday. And Courtney, you were ready, but what happened?
Yeah, I got a call from the Orange County GOP chair, and it was like 45 minutes into filing, 12:45 that Monday. And he's like, hey, have you gone to Raleigh? And I was like, no, I'm not there. And he said, don't go, because they're closing filing literally 45 minutes in. And so, yeah, we're caught up in the court system right now. So hopefully we'll be able to file soon and really know who our competitors are.
Yeah. So what do you do in the meantime, Courtney? And I know you've got a big event coming up this Saturday that you wanted to invite people to.
I do. Yeah. So I really think the priority is getting my name out there. And really, I would say my big thing is encouraging the church to get involved in politics in 2022, because somebody said this to me a couple weeks, maybe a couple months ago, that they feel like, and I've just used this because I think it's so true, that we are seeing the culture changing the church rather than the church changing the culture right now. And I'm talking big C church. We're seeing this across the board, all across America, where people are trying to separate politics and, you know, the Christian faith. And I see that, you know, I was talking to my husband. In the Bible, we see where Paul, you know, submits to authority and promotes the gospel above all, which is what we definitely need to do as Christians. But what's different right now is we live in America where we are a government by the people, for the people. So we are our government. So we as Christians need to be the ones in charge, or we're going to have godless people telling us what to do, and it's not going to be what we want.
No, and it's exactly what we've all seen for years, and that's why I have so much respect for you and appreciate you stepping into it as somebody that's been on the front lines as a nurse and saw what was happening over the last 2 years, and certainly it hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse, and Biden comes in and says, I'll fix this, and of course, we just doubled our own record for how many COVID cases got reported in a day. That just happened yesterday. And so we have to get involved. And I always remind people, hey, we all know nobody's going to argue over the fact that as Christians, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, we live in a system, as you mentioned, Courtney, that the laws affect everybody. We are the government. We're supposed to be the government. We can be a representative part of that government. So if you want to love your neighbor well, you should care about the laws that are affecting them. And then how can we not do that? I mean, that's a clear violation of scripture, which is why I so appreciate you running, talking to Courtney Giles. Courtney Giles for Congress, that's G-E-E-L-S, CourtneyGilesForCongress.com. And again, whether you're in District 6, the Orange County area, parts of Wake that it covers, doesn't really matter. We all care about the state. We care about the nation. So when we have one of our own running, we all need to be supporting them, in this case, supporting Courtney. What's going on this Saturday?
Yeah, this Saturday, that is the 8th. We are going to have a Truth, Justice, and Unity dinner, which I know I've brought that up. Those are my words to live by for 2022. And I've gotten some pushback on justice and unity. People say those are overused words.
Yeah.
I believe they have been overused and Biden's used them, but they've been distorted by the media and distorted by the liberals. But they are godly words. And the problem is they go unity, justice, truth. They just want to force unity on people who disagree. And we need to start with truth, because you can't have unity without truth and justice, and you surely can't have justice without truth. So those are going to be the themes of this dinner, but particularly we are going to start with truth, which is where we need to start with, and that is going to be the theme of election integrity. So I have some great speakers lined up. We have Seth Keschel flying in from Texas. If you haven't heard him yet, he kind of came on the scene in 2020, but he's been able to predict elections just across the board through 2016 and then 2020. Amazing. There was a lot of hiccups, that he has very objective data and trends, and his presentation is absolutely phenomenal. He's going to be coming in, and I think this is a great event to invite people to that are kind of on the fence. Yeah. I don't think the media is trying to harm us, but you know, I do think that we are being censored, and I do think there is a little bit of harm that's coming to us for lack of knowledge. So we have to bypass that media, and we have to bring in truth on our own. So I'm bringing him in from Texas. So we have Seth Keschel. We have Felice Pete, who is in the Wake County GOP. She's going to talk about how we're going to ride this red wave in 2022.
Yeah, here we are.
Too many twos. Felice Pete will be talking. She's great. And then also Hal Weatherman in North Carolina. I know you've had him
on the show.
He's going to tell us what he's doing. And I know he's talked about it on the show, but he's just going to kind of wrap it up and let us know what we're going to do in North Carolina to prevent fraud in 2022 so we can flip this seat blue.
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of people, Courtney, that appreciate the fact that you're leading with that in this conversation right now, because you know, most of the politicians out there and people running for office are like, yeah, voter integrity. I don't think they realize how much of an issue that is to most of us regular folks out here, that why would we go vote if we can't trust the system? So I really appreciate you bringing that up. And certainly Hal Weatherman, who's been involved in politics for years. For those of you that don't know, he was the chief of staff for Dan Forrest. He was kind of the right-hand man for Dan's mom, who was in Congress for 18 years, Sue Myrick, who was also the mayor of Charlotte. And so that's right at his in the middle of his wheelhouse, trying to ensure the integrity of our voting system, because more and more of us, if it doesn't get fixed, we'll just walk away assuming that our votes actually aren't going to count. So I really appreciate you talking about that. So people can come out to that. I just put a link up on Facebook Live so people can do that. Also, the information's at Courtney Geels for Congress, G-E-E-L-S, as a reminder. What else can we do to help you, Courtney?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter. I have Getter. If you haven't gotten on Getter, I highly recommend it. You will not be censored there. So it's at Courtney Geels, and that's on all three platforms. And then my Facebook page is Courtney Geels for Congress.
Awesome.
So
yep.
I'd love to meet everybody.
Wonderful. Yeah, Getter. I mean, Joe Rogan's leading a mass exodus out of Twitter to go to Getter. So, wow, that rhymed. Okay, forget that. Anyway, Courtney Geels running for the 6th District, as far as we can tell right now. Courtney Geels for Congress and the Fight for Truth, Justice, and Unity in America dinner this Saturday. Also, the link's up at her website as well as the Facebook Live. Courtney, God bless you, sister. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, friends, we'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Happy 2022. So I'm going to jump ahead. I noticed this poll. And I put this up on Facebook a couple days ago. I'm feeling better today. Physically, I'm better. I don't know if I had Omicron or what I had around Christmas, whatever. Didn't bother. I was going to get tested last Thursday. Then I'm like, well, what difference does it make, really? You know, what difference does it make? Back in the day, remember back in the day? Back in the day is like 2019 now. You don't feel well. You stay home. You get some rest. You don't go get tested. You know, I don't know. It's the flu. It's a bad cold. I caught something. Something's going around. It's a bug. It's the crud. Whatever. No, now we got to go get tested and get all this official information that I don't even know that we can trust. And so feeling much better that way. And then I just wasn't feeling it coming into the new year. I've got a lot to do. We're working now on taking my civics class, my government class, as well as my new U.S. history class online so I can reach more high school age homeschoolers. First around the state of North Carolina. So if you're in the homeschool world or know somebody that is that has high school students in North Carolina, these are awesome classes. They are really, really a big deal, not only for the current condition of the country, but for the future, the condition of the country. There's not a lot. I don't feel like there's a lot I can do in reaching our own people. And most of the time here on the show or on Facebook Live or the podcast, it's the choir. We're talking to each other. But with these young people, they're still a work in progress, these high schoolers. And most of them know little to nothing about U.S. history. They know little to nothing about the Constitution and civics and government in general. And so they're ripe to be led down the wrong road. And there's only, listen, only 10 states in the union require civics at a high school level. And we know what's happened to U.S. history. U.S. history has been hijacked and has been for years, mostly by the left. But there's people on the right that highlight all the things that we should highlight and really don't spend much time on the things that we need to own. There's a lot of junk. There's a lot of blood on our ledger as a nation. There's highlights and there's lowlights. There's beautiful moments and there's terrible moments. There's things we got to own and things you shouldn't just gloss over. Oh, yeah, it's terrible what happened to the American Indians. And move on. No, you got to be willing to have these conversations. And also, as a Christian, with somebody with a pretty robust biblical worldview, man, teaching U.S. history now, it's so ripe for gospel conversations, which overrides everything else. Just understanding the human condition. Listen, mankind's been doing it to each other since we got kicked out of the garden, right? And so some of the terrible things that have happened in the U.S. history, as well as some of the amazing things, that's just all tied to human nature and the ability of human beings to do incredible things when we represent the Lord well in terms of the Imago Dei, the image of God. And then because of our sin nature, the remarkably horrendous things that we're capable of doing. And both have happened in this nation over the last 400 years. And so our people on the right gloss over things and focus only on the good, kind of ignore the bad. People on the left focus only on the bad and ignore the good. And where's the truth? Well, as Christians, we're supposed to be people of truth. That's the way I teach it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I tell my students, listen, if your heart doesn't break over some of the things that have happened in this country, then your heart's broken. There's something wrong with you. And you shouldn't just gloss over things that involve people made in the image of God. And so that's why there's only so many people I can teach given time and space here in Raleigh. And so that's why we're going to take these things online and offer them to people, high school students around the state first. We're going to start marketing next month. You'll hear that happen here on the show, as well as social media. And then hopefully I'll go from 115 students to 250 students this year. And then in the next year, maybe 500. And then start adding some other courses. Biblically centered, strong Christian worldview, trying to develop young people into leaders that we need them to be for tomorrow. But that ain't happening in most cases. So that's why we're doing what we feel called to do, what I feel called to do. I'll talk about that more as we get going. So I'm feeling much better as the days roll by in terms of 2022. A lot of work for us to do. And especially when it comes to the gospel, the fields are ripe unto harvest. Are they not? Have they ever been riper in this country? Remember, only 6% of Americans even operating out of a biblical worldview. So the vast majority of people you see today and tomorrow and the day after are lost. The ultimate answer for America isn't the right president. It's the gospel. So let's not forget that. Exclusive poll. America's fears rise for 2022. Americans are less optimistic and more nervous about what 2022 has in store for the world than they were heading into 2021, according to an Axios poll. Wow, that's troubling. And this year, I'm reading from the poll, democracy ranks second among the issues survey respondents said matter most to them, behind jobs and the economy and just ahead of healthcare. COVID and Trump were the top two words people said they'd like to hear less of in 2022. The top word people said they'd like to do more of, travel. Because we're all weary, right? The big picture, the overall findings are comparable to recent pre-pandemic year-ahead polls conducted by Momentive, formerly SurveyMonkey. But compared with last year's poll, they show a souring of the national mood after an unusually optimistic view of what 2021 could be when we thought, surely we'll beat COVID, right? No, wrong. The end of last year from the article was a particularly hopeful time, partly because there was a change in the presidency, but also because we'd just been through the first year of COVID and everyone thought things could only get better after 2020. Right. I think this year, this is Laura Ronsky, who was the senior manager for the research. After this year, we've realized it's not going to magically get better, but that we're going to have to live with COVID for a while. By the numbers, more than half the people in our survey, 54%, said they're more fearful than hopeful about what's in store for the world in 2022, while 44% said they're more hopeful. That's a sharp turnaround from last year's survey when 63% said they were more hopeful about the world in 2021 and 36% said they were more fearful. While Republicans were more pessimistic than Democrats and independents both years, all three groups turned more negative in this year's survey. In addition, 51% said they were more fearful than hopeful about what's in store for the U.S. in 2022, including 66% of Republicans, 41% of Democrats, and 46% of independents. Yes, but here in the article, even with the Omicron variant spreading across the country, 61% of Americans said they're more hopeful than fearful about what's ahead for the pandemic in 2022. Let's hope that's true. I think it will be. What to watch this year? 17% of the people in our survey said democracy was the issue that matters most to them right now, second only to jobs and the economy at 31%. That urgency was driven largely by, get this, Democrats, who ranked it as their highest priority at 24%, and people with a college degree or higher at 24%. Republicans also ranked democracy as a high priority at 15%, while it was basically a non-issue for independents. Okay, that's a problem that very few people see. We were already on this big government trajectory. We have been for a while, the socialism growing, the socialism mindset growing here in America. But to see that after the last 2 years of a massive increased display, flagrant display of government power, that more people aren't concerned about democracy. Republicans also rank democracy as a high priority. 15% said it's the highest priority. Only 15%? Like, what's up with that? And when you say democracy, read that freedom, liberty, a contained federal government, some freedom to move and live for you as an American. Why more people aren't worried about democracy in general is beyond me. And that's part of the problem, because they're ignorant. There was a big poll that came out about a year ago. I've talked about it a lot in the last year, that showed that Gen Z and millennials, basically people under 40, like 61% of them had a positive reaction to the word socialism, and 59% of them had a positive reaction to the word capitalism. Do you see the problem with that? That's a lot of overlap in there. So how can I be on this hand? Hey, socialism, I'm good with that. Hey, what do you think about capitalism? Oh, I'm pretty good with that too. Hello? Anybody home? Do you realize those are incompatible? What are you talking about? Massive ignorance. So as we are continue to talk about the spirit of the age, people don't even understand truth. They don't understand with any clarity what the country is supposed to be. They don't understand liberty, which means they don't understand democracy, which means they're not worried about it enough when they should be. More on that when we come back right after this. Don't go anywhere. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Happy New Year. Can you believe it? 2022. January 4th. This is Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show, back live and in action. I wanted to encourage you. One of the things that oftentimes we think about doing in the new year, then I've got some more stories I want to get to. From a biblical perspective, from a Christian perspective, I'm doing this with my son and a couple of his friends. He'll be 21 next month. We're doing the Bible Project, New Testament in a Year. I did this a couple years ago. The Bible Project, if you've never checked that out, they do an excellent job. This is one of the most prolific Bible Project type efforts in the world, has been for the last several years. They do these great videos explaining the Old Testament, the New Testament, overviews, book overviews. So if you're going to look at the book of Matthew, for example, so the Bible Project on the Bible app, we just started on January 1st doing the New Testament in a year. And so the very first day, you just have about an 8-minute video that the Bible Project's put together. You know, they do kind of the video where it looks like you don't see a hand or anything, but it's kind of like hand drawn on the screen. Beautiful. But it's talking about the whole book of Matthew, the book of Matthew, which is split up into 5 sections, and what's the purpose and what's the flow there. Because once you get this really well done, theologically astute look at a single book like Matthew, you're like, whoa, there's so much form and function here that you're not aware of. You just kind of read through it. Right? Oh, yeah, the genealogies and then the Christmas story. Sermon on the Mount. Yeah. But there's actually divisions and incredible form and function of the book of Matthew. So we just started it on January 1st, today being January 4th, just Matthew chapter 3. So it's been good for me to get back into this, even though right now in the Daily Dose devotionals we're in the book of Matthew. But I wrote those a few years ago, so we're back through those. I think we're in Matthew 12 or 13 right now in the Daily Dose devotionals. That's just one passage out of Matthew every day with very simple, straightforward, street-level application of what we're reading there in the scriptures. I've written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those over the years, so if you want to jump on that, just text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E. That's the name of it, Daily Dose. Just text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866. That's all you need to do. If you want to go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com, you can join up that way. But the easier way is just do the text. Just text the word DOSE, D-O-S-E, to 66866. So 66866 is like the phone number. That's the recipient. And the only message you're going to send is the word DOSE, D-O-S-E. And then you can get those every day in a little walk through the book of Matthew as we're doing that. But I would really encourage you. It's been really helpful to me just for a few days to be back in a regular reading of God's word that comes and goes. In my life, believe it or not, it shouldn't. It should be constant. That's why I write devotionals, because it's a helpful way to keep me busy inside the word of God. But would just encourage you to check that out on the Bible app. It's really a good one, the Bible Project, New Testament in a Year. Okay, check that out. All right, so here we go. This is interesting to watch this story as Omicron just ravages the nation. So yesterday, right, daily cases yesterday, 582,000. You know, it's just exploding. And we were doubling up just the other day. We doubled up. The worst that we've seen was going back a year. 306,000 cases on January 8th of 2021, and we almost doubled that just a couple days ago, right? We're still above 500,000 a day. So Omicron's all over the place. So I thought this article was interesting. I saw this on Fox News website. Biden's pandemic of the unvaccinated narrative falls apart. Really? For months, President Biden has characterized the continued spread of the coronavirus as a pandemic of the unvaccinated and repeatedly claimed that vaccinated people cannot spread the virus. Contradicting what his own Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has been saying since at least April. Quote, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, the president told Ohio's TV7 on December 14th. The unvaccinated, not the vaccinated, the unvaccinated. That's the problem. Everybody talks about freedom and not to have a shot or have a test. Well, guess what? How about patriotism? How about making sure that you're vaccinated so you do not spread the disease to anyone else? They need to get him up to date, don't they? This is why. Another reason that we need to pray for those in authority over us. Hello, my fellow Christians. We should be praying daily, regularly, for those in authority over us, including Joe Biden, even if you can't stand the guy. You pray for him anyway, because this is pretty obvious that he needs prayers. The whole administration does. They all do. But the CDC has been warning about breakthrough COVID-19 infections for the better part of the whole last year, issuing an update in April that said people can still get sick and possibly spread COVID-19 to others after being fully vaccinated. Apparently, that's news to the president, sadly. CDC expects that anyone with Omicron infection can spread the virus to others, even if they are vaccinated or don't have symptoms. See? Some truth, finally. Isn't that amazing? Despite the agency clearly stating since at least April that the virus can spread among vaccinated individuals, Biden has repeatedly tried to assign blame to you guys, the unvaccinated. On November 3rd, Biden urged Americans to get their children vaccinated to stop the spread and help us beat the pandemic. On October 7th, while defending his vaccine mandate on healthcare workers, Biden claimed that vaccinated workers are protected from COVID-19 and cannot spread it to you. On September 9th, the president spoke directly to unvaccinated Americans and said, "We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin." Remember that one? "And your refusal has cost all of us." On August 23rd, the president said, "The pandemic of unvaccinated is a tragedy that is preventable." No, it isn't. During a July 21st CNN town hall, he said, "You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations." Wrong. On July 16th, 2 weeks after celebrating America's near independence from the coronavirus, Biden said, "The only pandemic we have is among the unvaccinated." Meanwhile, the U.S. recorded its record number of COVID-19 cases for a single day on Monday, almost doubling the previous record of about 590,000 set just 4 days earlier. This despite 73% of the U.S. population being at least partially vaccinated and 62% being vaccinated, according to the CDC. Notably, the surge in cases has not translated into skyrocketing deaths, praise God, though hospitalizations are currently on the rise. Then you get Fauci. On August 15th, Fauci told MSNBC, "Vaccines prevent getting infected, prevent getting sick, prevent your hospitalization." Huh? "I'd rather not get infected than get infected and have to be treated for it," Fauci said at the time. So he's been all over the map. And again, one of the fascinating things that we need to watch and be attentive to and to pray for over the remainder of this year is what these people are going to do as this goes away, as they lose this power over the masses. Because COVID, as it mutates, gets weaker, praise God. And what are they going to do when they lose the carrot and the stick? What's going to happen then? Well, by that point, we'll probably be in the November elections, and they're going to get shellacked, which is not going to be an ultimate cure, by the way. So don't think that, hey, we take back Congress in November, everything's going to be fine. No. You don't understand just how spiritually depraved and lost this nation is. That's an important thing, but it's not an ultimate thing. That's why we struggle as Christians, because we think the condition of the nation is dependent largely on what's happening in D.C. That's important. But all that stuff's downstream from the spiritual state of the country as a whole. And the spiritual state of the country is horrible. And so allegiance to truth, even allegiance to reality. I'm a woman because I say I'm a woman. Allegiance to reality is out the window. That's all downstream from people rejecting the truth of God's word. This is like simple math. Okay, 2 + 2 = 4. This is what the scriptures offer you, which is why when you have a solid biblical worldview, it's easier not to lose. It should be easier not to lose your joy, not to sell it down the river for a bowl of stew based on what's happening in the news. I know sometimes I come in here and I'm like, I'm just saying the same stuff over and over again. Well, a lot of these things need to be said over and over again. I need the reminder. You need the reminder. This was kind of funny. CNN, there's a bright spot for CNN, okay? CNN is now warning that obesity is linked to COVID deaths and the internet is welcoming them to April of 2020. This is in Not the Bee. You know the Babylon Bee, the satire site? They actually have an actual news site called Not the Bee. I'm really glad that CNN, the author writes, is finally catching up to the rest of us who've had functioning prefrontal cortexes the past 2 years. This is a CNN tweet. People who are overweight or obese are at a much higher risk of much more severe disease and even death from COVID-19. One new study suggests that losing weight can reduce that risk. Wow. Yep. Welcome to April 20th, CNN. Here's an April 20th story from Newsweek discussing a study that showed a relationship between obesity and COVID. This is from Newsweek. Obesity, one of the biggest risk factors in COVID-19 hospitalization, study suggests researchers looked at which factors were most associated with hospitalization and critical illness in over 4,000 New York patients. And what was it? Obesity. Nobody likes to talk about that. We don't like to talk about obesity in this country. Want to know why? Because most of us are overweight. Most of us are not paying attention to our health. We eat garbage. We don't get out. We don't exercise. We don't care for ourselves. Some people naturally have a problem with it. It's a struggle that you can't just wave a magic wand at. But for most of us, it's just a lifestyle deal. But nobody wants to talk about that. That's been one of the biggest risk factors, and we've known that for a while, almost 2 years now. But nobody wants to talk about it. Now CNN's finally talking about it. Here's another one. A study in a journal from April 2020 that warned about obesity. In July 2020, from the study, the government of the UK implemented a national weight loss program to reduce severe COVID cases. Did you ever hear that? I didn't either. This is a sacred cow, by the way. Our weight. That's a sacred cow. Nobody likes to talk about that because so many people struggle with it. New obesity strategy unveiled as a country urged the country urged to lose weight to beat coronavirus and protect the NHS. New package of measures and better health campaign announced to help people lose weight. That was the government of the UK. How about the news in March 2021 that 90% of all COVID deaths have been in nations where the majority of citizens are obese? That was in the New York Post. Couple more things there, a couple more comments about all this. For us as Christians, how do we live in this world? How do we make a difference? How do we walk around with a smile on our face despite what we see in the news? And then a good news story about Shaquille O'Neal. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. By the way, let me just tell you, I don't remember to do this often enough. Can I tell you how much I appreciate you? Whether you're on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, you listen to the podcast later, you listen on one of the radio stations we're on about 30 radio stations, Truth Radio and our good friend Carl Ford and many others and Wilkins Radio out in Asheville and our friends down in South Carolina. And our pastor friends in the central North Carolina, Pastor Jackson and Pastor Neil, and so I do. I appreciate all of you. I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh. I listened to it for 25 years, I think. And he would talk about this relationship he sensed that he had with his listening audience. Although the vast majority of the millions and millions and millions of people he would never talk to or meet. Listen, only about 1 in 1,000 listeners will call in to a talk show. Only 1 in 1,000. So it's true from high school that we all get sick with public speaking. We hated speech communication class. That's still true for most of us. Some of us crazy people don't. We thrive on it, people like me. But it's a very humbling thing to know. Like I struggled for years to change the name of the show because I am the host of the show, right? So to call it the Steve Noble Show, but for years, 2007 through, 2000, I don't know, maybe 12 or 13. It was Call to Action this week when I was on Saturdays for 3 years. And then it was Call to Action Day today when we went to Daily, which was in February of 2011. But, you know, with industry experts and stuff, they'd always be like, Steve, you got to change the name of your show. I do. Why? Well, you are the show. So when you say people don't tune in because it's call to action today, that means nothing. The reason they tune in is because they want to listen to you. They want to know what you have to say. I'm like, yeah, but that sounds so self-indulgent. You know, it's just like pride 101. But that's the industry standard, right? So eventually I'm like, okay, fine. I get it. It makes sense. I think my heart was in the right place at the time. And so we changed the name, the Steve Noble Show. You know, I got the coffee cup and I've got the back of my phone as a conversation starter. And you know, it's just a weird thing to know that people tune in because you for some reason want to hear what I have to say or what the guests have to say or the different things that I talk about or different ministries that get in here or candidates or whatever the case may be. And that's a very humbling thing. And it's an odd, bizarre thing at the same time. And I really do. I don't have an easy time taking days off because I feel like I'm messing up an obligation. I feel obligated to be here, not because I think I'm special. It's just the way the Lord has chosen to use me over the years. And so once you figure that out and how God has made you and what your gifting is, then it's a great joy to sow into that. It's a great joy to get into that gifting and to use it as often as you can and to be able to use it in all the different ways that the different careers that I have all at the same time in order to provide for my family, which the Lord does. Is great, but you got to understand what your gifting is, and then you just sow into that. And when you're using that gifting, I'll give yourself a little pat on the back. You're choosing to be obedient. That's good. That's good. But where's the gifting come from? Where's the power come from? From the Lord. And so when you're doing something, if, in my case, if it's something public, that's not because of me. It's because of him. Believe me, the devil whispers to me regularly, "Hey, Steve, if they knew what I knew about you, nobody would listen." Because we're all a bunch of sinners, right? I sin, you sin. We all sin. Raise your hand if you're a sinner. There you go. Thank you for your honesty. But it's not about me. It's about the Lord. It's about his truth. So I do. I really, really appreciate the time that you invest in listening. I hope it blesses you. I hope you learn something. I've certainly learned a lot by getting prepared to do the show and having these conversations and hope that it's a blessing to you. So let me just say that. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your investment here in the show. And I hope I don't disappoint you too often. Back to the CNN story, because nobody wants to talk about weight, right? They just came out with this tweet about, hey, people who are overweight or obese that are much higher risk or much more severe disease and even death from COVID-19. That was their recent tweet. I appreciate that they were willing to put some truth out there. And then there's some other stories that in this particular article from Not the Bee pointing to. Here's another one. This is kind of funny, just people tweeting. Imagine when CNN discovers things like, I don't know, inalienable rights, vitamin D, the super low mortality stats for kids, and the mechanics of aerosolized viruses. Good job, CNN. We're so proud of you guys for trying your best. You might be like that one person who finishes a race 20 minutes after everyone else, but hey, you got there. Okay, here's another one. It's funny how we quote Twitters, right? Tweets. I'm showing my age. Nearly half of Americans put on weight during the lockdowns with an average gain of, get this, 29 pounds. 10% of us gained 50 pounds or more. By closing things down, we actually may have increased the risk. So that was Brian Sullivan responding from CNBC. Interestingly enough, nice to see a little truth there. This guy named Jimmy Faia. This is kind of funny. Seems like just yesterday, CNN was encouraging people to get vaccinated so they'd get a free Krispy Kreme donut. But it was like 8 months ago. Remember that? Get vax, get a donut. Really? Go eat Krispy Kremes, increase our lack of health, increase our obesity, which then increases your risk of having a really hard time with COVID. But nobody wanted to talk about that. Why? Because that's not popular. Why? Because you're getting into people's business. Because most of us are unhealthy. Most of us are overweight. And there's a price to be paid there. Here's Ben Shapiro. CNN, this is funny. I don't know if you'll get this joke. CNN has discovered Joe Rogan's show. That was Ben's tweet response to the CNN tweet. So the CNN tweet, people who are overweight or obese are at a much higher risk of much more severe disease and even death from COVID-19. And one new study suggests that losing weight can reduce that risk. Imagine that. So Ben Shapiro says CNN has discovered Joe Rogan's show. What's the joke there if you don't get it? Because Joe Rogan has been putting out the truth about COVID and having guests on We talked about that yesterday. He's been having guests on that get him banned all over the place because they're willing to push back against the narrative and risk their own platforms. And many of them have been deplatformed. Joe Rogan's on Spotify. He doesn't care what any of these people say anymore. And so that's why Ben Shapiro's like, hey, maybe CNN's listening to Joe Rogan now. I remember Joe Rogan went after CNN mercilessly because they deserved it, because they were reporting that he was taking the horse pills version of ivermectin, which was a complete lie. So, and by the way, CNN, Joe Rogan is a bigger media player by himself with a couple of podcasts a week than your entire network over the course of an entire week. And why is that? Because Joe Rogan's willing to have conversations. He's a fascinating guy. He was a comedian. He's a WWE wrestling kind of guy, wrestling commentator. But he's fascinating. He's interested in a lot of things. He does 2.5, 3-hour podcasts. Like all of us older people are like, I don't have time for that. But I tell you what, a lot of younger people do. And Joe Rogan is fabulously successful because he's willing to have some. I mean, sometimes it's just goofing around. But oftentimes, especially on COVID, he has people on, is willing to, let's talk about all this, throw all the sacred cows on the table, and let's gun them all down and talk about all this stuff. And praise the Lord for that. That's called the pursuit of truth. And we need to do that, not to crush our enemies, by the way, but to enlighten people. That's your call. That's my call as a Christian. Just be truthful. Be loving and kind and gracious and patient. Absolutely. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, but do so with gentleness and respect, not to crush people. It's like the gospel. Just share with people the good news. Share with them the truth. What they do with it is their responsibility. It's not yours. But if you love people, don't you want them to know the truth? Sure, of course. Let me finish with this good story. Tomorrow, by the way, my good friend Brooke Medina will be in here. Great Christian woman, great wife and mother, comes from a military family. She's works with the John Locke Foundation. She's their, I think, their VP of communications now. Brilliant young Christian. So we're going to talk tomorrow about kind of looking back at some of the big stories from her perspective, constitutional conservative for 2021, and then things to be on the lookout for in this new year. So we'll talk to Brooke tomorrow for the whole show. But I wanted to finish with this. I love these. I like Shaquille O'Neal more all the time. He's just doing some great stuff out there. He's kind of willing to speak his mind. He's not overly impressed with himself. But this is cool. This is from Not the Bee. Shaquille O'Neal rolled up to a little elementary school in Georgia last month and handed out tons of bikes, Nintendo Switches, which is a little handheld video game, and PS5s, PlayStation 5s, to kids for Christmas. Shaquille O'Neal is known for his diamond-studded NBA career as well as his slightly less luminous attempts at acting over the years, but the dude also has a really big heart as well. Shaquille O'Neal has revealed he handed out, get this, 1,000 PS5s, PlayStation 5s, 1,000 of them, and Nintendo Switches to underprivileged children over Christmas. The former basketball player, 49, spoke with Gary Vaynerchuk's on the Gary V Audio Experience podcast and said that he finds it important to give away gifts as he didn't have a lot growing up. I call, you know, my friend from Nintendo, got about 1,000 Nintendo Switches sitting there, got about 1,000 PS5s, and I went to Walmart and bought bikes. So, you know, yesterday at this little elementary school in McDonough, Georgia, kids were crying, kids were happy, and that's what it's all about. Yeah, in the sports analysis world, in this article from Not the Bee, that's what they call a slam dunk. This is not the only generous gift bonanza the Gentle Giant is known for. His annual Shack of Claws event has distributed tons of presents to kids every year for over 2 decades. And by the way, I saw another story when I found this one, because he's done stuff like this over the years. I saw another story. He was in a jewelry store, and this guy's buying buying an engagement ring, and Shaq just decided to pay for it. Hey, I got that. I'll pay for it. Now, obviously, you and I don't have Shaquille O'Neal money. But we have something, we have some money, or we have time. And so when I see stories like this of his generosity, my first blush to get myself off the hot seat is to go, well, I can't do stuff like that, I don't have that kind of money. Yeah, but do you know what your time is worth? You go sit down and have a cup of coffee with somebody that's feeling lonely or needs a little encouragement, sending a text, making a phone call, remember how to do that? Those little things, that can have just as big as an impact on somebody as Shaquille O'Neal showing up with a couple thousand video games at an elementary school in Georgia. You just have to believe that God wants to use you that way, because he does. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.